Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on you all, our honorable and noble listening audience. We'd like to greet you with the views of paradise. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of Religion Means Alive with your host, Imam Alfred Muhammad. Today I'll be facilitating the broadcast with you all today. My name is Mujahideen Muhammad, and we want to focus. We know we are within arm's length, as they say, of the blessed month of fasting. So it is our intention today to recall some of the great benefits and the great sacrifice that we are asked to join if we are present during this month of fasting. I don't have access to the switchboard at the moment. I will in a few. So if anyone that is on the line have any questions or comments and you want to join the conversation and participate, I'll be able to do so in a few. So I'll give a few opening remarks and reflections, and then we'll go into some materials that I researched from the language and leadership of Imam W. Muhammad to share with us as a guide for this discussion today. We know that the life, the lifeblood of our community in America has been established by the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in his teaching and in his practice, he directs us to the original sources of our religion, that is, the life example of the Prophet and the Quran. The Quran, as we discussed in previous broadcasts, is a book for the benefit of all people, all mankind. It is a book that was revealed on the heart of Muhammad, the balanced human being. And it is that reason why Muhammad is called a mercy to all the world and an example to any who believe in God in the last day. So he is the human prophet for the human being. Also, he is the one to confirm and reaffirm revelation, that process that has been going on from the beginning of humanity and civilization up until the life example of the Prophet. And we know that previous scriptures have been altered and lost and changed, and there was a need for the final revelation to clear up any matters and to complete that revelation, that process of revelation. Now we're living in a new world, the world that has been influenced by nature, that is, the laws and the creation, but also by the human thinking, the human ability to think and reason in that environment, and then furthermore, by revelation. So we would like to investigate that and reflect upon that today. It is always an honor to be among the believers. We always ask God for assistance and guiding our thoughts and our tongue, and that he allow us to present the message that he wants for you all and for us. One of the references we want to bring to our attention is in Surah 2, verse 183. We'll read to you the translation. From, this is the Quran, Sahih International, English meanings and notes. There are many translations of the Quran in many different languages. There was a time when the Quran was only in the Lughat al-Arabiyyah, the original Arabic text, And that is the Quran actually. The Quran is actually the Arabic text. But it has been translated and interpreted in many different languages throughout the world. And before we read any section of the Quran, we always seek God's protection from the rejected enemy. That is, that one that rises up in the human being and distracts him from the true guidance. O you who believe, O you who have believed, decreed upon you is fasting, as it was decreed upon those before you, that you may become righteous. Fasting for a limited number of days, so whoever among you is ill or on a journey during them, then an equal number of other days are to be made up. And upon those who are able to fast, but with hardship, a ransom as the substitute of feeding a poor person each day, and whoever volunteers good, it is better for him, but to fast is best for you if he only knew. The month of Ramadan, in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance, as a guidance for the people, and clear proofs of guidance and a criterion. So whoever cites or is present during this month, let him fast. And whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of days should be made up. God intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship. But he wants you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that which he has guided you, and perchance you may be grateful. Surely God speaks the truth. Two things briefly. We are taught in the reading that this practice of fasting, refraining from food, water, and sexual relations with our wives during the daylight hours, is for the purpose to make us righteous or regardful. The term comes from the root word, which means to be regardful. And actually, there's a description given that if you are in a bushel of thorns, and this act of being regardful is holding your garment close to yourself so that it won't get stuck by the thorn. So you're very cautious, another term, cautious, very alert, very aware. So this practice is not, we know, not for us to lose weight, not for us to feel some type of spiritual telepathy, but it's for us to be regardful of those things that God has ordered regardful. And what are some of those things? Some of those things, we are taught to be regardful of our parents, of our family ties, our relationship between husband and wife, mother and parents, parents and children, relationship between brothers and sisters. Also, we are taught that we have to be regardful of the fire, those things that are of appetite, success, wealth, influence, knowledge. Knowledge is a form, people yearn to be successful in the educational arena. So we have to be regardful of our relationship with those things. Another thing that we have to be regardful is we have to be regardful of our behavior. Our behavior should be as if we are, as it is said, in the presence of God or seeing God. And though we do not see him, he sees us. So the way we act in the public, when we put on our best behavior, we should also be regardful and obedient when we are not being watched or analyzed or monitored. The principle doesn't change. Our faith and the principles of our religion doesn't change when we are alone or when we are with a small group or we are with a group of people who are not aware of our principle of religion. That doesn't mean our behavior should change to accommodate, to fit in. So this action of the believer is a training during this month of fasting, and we're doing it collectively. Therefore, the community will become strengthened and become better in connection. Will become better connected and better appreciative of each other for this great work. Our work in this world is not for sport and play. It's not just for the comforts, eating and clothing and bathing ourselves. God has put us in his word, on this earth to serve him. So he gives us these comforts, these means of livelihood, all these things, and he tests us with lack of some, and he also tests us with an abundance of some, meaning of good, of pleasure, of comfort, of wealth, of education. Some people are tested with the lack of that, and some people are tested with the abundance of that, with the surplus of that. And what is the purpose? To please God, to keep a balance, that though I might be without the wealth of my neighbor, yet I still know that all wealth comes from God. And I'm not going to do something outside of the natural, outside of the normal behavior of a civilized human being to get that wealth. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to trick. I'm not going to set up a plot to take the wealth of my neighbor, because I know that God is the creator and he's the provider. And the same one that yielded that to my neighbor, if it is God's will, he would give it to me. And vice versa. If I have been blessed with abundance of wealth, abundance of education, abundance of opportunity and productivity and development, I should feel in my heart and my mind compassion for those who are without. And this is where the attribute or the principle of charity comes in. This is a natural element in the human being. So I should share in some of the things that I have a surplus in, that I have my needs met. All my needs are fulfilled, and I see my neighbor or a friend or family or a stranger or someone traveling without, I should try to assist them, because I know that everything that I have is a gift from God. It's a test from God. It's a mercy. And I know that I have the obligation to share that with my fellow neighbor, my fellow human being. So these are attributes and functions that restore humanity to its proper place, proper construction. If there's an element in the society that has deviated to one side, where there are elements that dictate and impose people to succumb to miserable circumstance, then the righteous, those who claim that God is superior, those who claim that human beings are honorable and noble creatures, they should join together and they should promote the good, and they should forbid the evil. So believers, we should never think of ourselves as losers or losing when there's a group of people or a society or element in society that has more power and authority to dictate how the resources, in particular, how education also, and so many other things, how they are distributed. We should trust God. We should pray, but also be productive. Never give up work. Never give up striving for excellence. Because when we do that, we allow ourselves, we deny ourselves the mercy of God. And sometimes fail the test. So we ask God that he allows us to always be successful in our endeavors. And during this month of Ramadan, let us recall our life as Muslims, our life as human beings, more importantly, because the life of a Muslim is to restore the creature back to his human nature. Because everything that we do in this religion is a complement to our human nature. It enhances our human nature. And it realigns us. That is the purpose of religion, to realign us to that original pattern or conduct that God has created humanity with. So at this time, we'll check the boards and see if we have any other callers on the line who would like to join the discussion. I am getting ready to be online in a moment where I can check to see if anyone else wants to join in. And if not, we also have the materials that we want to share with you going forward. Another thing about the month of Ramadan, it was stated in that first verse, that this is nothing new to humanity. This was prescribed to the people of the book before, though their fast wasn't as detailed and thought out as you have prescribed to do it now. But nonetheless, there are several different fasts that the people of the book have practiced. And so this is in connection that the life that the Prophet received, the light that the Prophet received in his life, is a continuation and conclusion of previous scriptures. We do have a 917. You're on Religion Means Alive with your host, Imam Alfred Muhammad. Welcome.
Yes, listen, peace be unto you. Peace to the audience.
Yes, sir.
That's your brother, Mr. Qadar, Ismail Qadar out there. I know it's been a minute on our beautiful show, Religion Means Alive, but we're still here strong. I'm just listening, and I'll join you for the discussion today.
Yes, sir.
Ramadan discussion and to the public. I was just listening to you, and I come in.
Okay. We have a few remarks we want to highlight from some of the research we did earlier in connection with Ramadan. And then we can go from there. One of them is and this came from at that time the newspaper was called the Bilalian News, and that those first, and this is good for our history also, that in America, as we know, one of the most popular groups or productive groups, as well as popular, and also made the name Islam and Muslim popular, was that of the Nation of Islam underneath the leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And during that time, before 1975, they would fast Ramadan the 12th month. And there's several, I've heard several explanations of why the 12th month, some I heard saying that, you know, it was the month during Christmas, which was the biggest holiday, and we were trying to wake our people up to some of the misconceptions in religion and the falsehoods in religion. And what other way to do that than combat that with another ideology or stronger truth, a step away from the falsehood. And then also I've heard that, you know, it was the shortest, the days were shorter because it was the winter, so forth. So Allah, God Almighty knows the best. But in the transitional stage of the community underneath Imam W. Muhammad, the son of Elijah Muhammad, he within that same year actually introduced or reintroduced or re-educated for some and educated for most the institution of Ramadan, being the ninth month of the lunar calendar. So it rotates. So some people who were fasting back then, they have, if they've been fasting from then till now, they actually fast in every month. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed them who have stayed up with this struggle, you pioneers out there who was with this transition up until this very day. God has blessed you in the last 30 to 40 years to fast in every month of the year. So we just wanted to share that little piece. So this article is called The Fire, The Fiery World of Desire. And we have several paragraphs, but we'll read one and then we'll reflect. And if you have any questions or comments, we'll entertain that. Before that, the Imam cites that verse that I shared about the month of Ramadan, Surah 2, verse 183, and I read through 184 and 185. The meaning of Ramadan, according to the Arabic religious dictionary, is great heat. In the Arabian desert, it gets so hot in the middle of the day with the sun beating or heating the desert that the feet of the animals have to be wrapped in order to protect them from the burning heat of the desert. The month of fast takes its name from the great heat of the desert. The spiritual meaning of the word Ramadan is this. We live in a world that is adverse to us, pulling against us. It is a world that tries to excite our weaknesses and to build up the fires of destruction within us. So we live in a world that is a fiery world of desire for those things that lead to extremes and destruction. We call them the flames of passion, in the words of the poet. These are flames that excite the person to extremes, that makes him spiritually drunk, that makes him morally drunk, and that makes him mentally drunk. Because we have to have some kind of protection against the flames of passion of the flesh, God has naturally equipped us with a protection. Man is to be blamed for his sins and for the wrongs he inflicts upon himself. God has created the world naturally. If we look at the natural truth that plainly exists before us, if we follow it, and if we use our good senses, we will not get into so much trouble. So one thing that I get from this is that the temptations that are before us, that are actually designed in the culture. We live in a free enterprise society, business and business people, education and educational people, political and political people, politics and political people, have the ability to create communities, create societies or districts, create an environment, really, to influence the life of those people, the constituents of those people. And it's free. The Muslim or any people of faith have also that right to institutionalize their values to create an environment that brings out the best in human beings. But then there's also, in this part of the world, there's also the freedom to for those who want to create an environment to prey, to manipulate, as it said here, to excite the weaknesses in the human being and exploit them. So living in a society like that or like this, the individual as well as the community of truth and community righteousness, they have to become proactive as well as defensive. They have to protect their interests as well as promote their interests and competition and fair competition with other religious groups and with other ideas or ideologies that's in this cultural environment. If not, you'll become a victim or will become a victim. Whole communities, as we see, whole people, whole groups of people will become victims of someone else's cultural detriment, or as is said by John Paul II, culture of death, where if you, as soon as you turn on, if you turn to the wrong channel, there are a lot of good channels, but if you turn to the wrong channel, or if your child gets access to a video or a piece of literature, they can really do some harm, some lasting harm to that mind or to that soul. So it is our job as Muslims here in America, as we follow this fundamental principle of our religion, the month of Ramadan, the fast of Ramadan, where we're taking those things that are halal and we are denying those natural. It is natural to feed and to drink, to nourish your body. We are, for the sake of God, we are restraining from that, staying away from that during the daylight hours. And then even in the nighttime, when we break our fast, we also have to be very cautious not to overeat and overindulge. Remember, it's the whole month of Ramadan. And sometimes, and I've seen this, sometimes we get a little relaxed and think, well, it's nighttime now, you know, as if to say, okay, I completed the fast, now I could, you know, get back to normal. Well, you know, it's a whole month. So even in our nighttime, we are still being regardful. We're still watching our tongue, watching our eyes, watching our hands, watching our feet. So we thank Allah. If you don't have any questions or comments, I'll proceed. I have a few other things to go over. Okay. Another section reads, well, let's give another verse. This is Surah 31, verse 1 through 3. Alif Lam Mim, these are the verses of the wise book, a guide and a mercy to the doers of good. Because we lose our senses, God comes to us with mercy instead of with justice. It is a mercy that he revealed religion to us because he has already been good to us without blessing us with revealed religion. He has established the order of justice, the order of sanity, balance in his creation. Even without revelation from a prophet, any creature can come into this world and live a good life. But when we go off on the wrong track and ignore the rules that God established in his natural creation, then he comes with mercy. The Holy Quran says that it is revealed as a mercy to the people. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, is not a justice to the people, nor is he something due to the people. He is a mercy to the people. At the beginning, there was no necessity for God to reveal to his truth to us. because his way has always been right. When the way of God is corrupted by man, meaning the mind of human beings, there is a need for someone to come and correct it. When God sends his messengers or his prophets to correct the way, it is a mercy to the rebellious, ignorant, and greedy people. Praise be to Allah. So, again, when we leave off food and drink, and this term food in particular in the Arabic language, Quranic Arabic language, is very close to the term brain. One is akala, meaning to eat, and one is akal, or akala, meaning to think or to use your intelligence. And if we think about the function of eating, we get a product, a food, a fruit, or a food, meat, or whatever, and we put it into our mouth, and we eat it, we chew it. Then we digest it, and it goes through its small intestine, large intestine. It goes through that whole process and produce and takes out the nutrients and energy and everything, and it goes through the bloodstream and the oxygen, and it refurbishes the body. The whole process of eating, and then the waste, it gets to, has a system to release the waste. That whole system is also what the brain does with knowledge or with information or with ideas. It takes it from our five senses. It registers our five senses. God has given the human being five senses, primary senses, to register in the creation and to gain knowledge. Once this knowledge goes into our system through those senses and reach our intelligence, our action, our body responds. Some people are more, depending on their environment, are more influenced by mathematics. Some are more influenced by building, construction, mechanical work. And there are many, many avenues. In fact, God says that he is the one that guides you to your avenues of work. And even on that path, and that's given a description of the sabil, of the way of God, is a horizontal path, the ways of work. Every endeavor, any institution, any work, any enterprise, any industry is on that path. And God says that there's one path that leads to him, and that's the upright path, the vertical path. And where the shaitan says that he's going to come after his servants, he said he will come to you on that upright path to try to put a false authority in your life or over your life or in your work so that you're getting the benefits of God in your work, but you are following the way or the scheme of the rejected one. So we have to protect ourselves from that. And one way of protecting, or the best way of protecting yourself from that, the best way of protecting yourself from that is with the guidance of God, as we just read. That when you get off thinking or doing things naturally and you're caught in a web or you're caught in a confused state or confused situation, be it by yourself or from someone who had more power, more knowledge than you. Nevertheless, it is an obligation to preserve and to be protected. So we'll pause there. Ishmael, if you're there, if you could carry on for a few moments, and I'll come back in along the line of what we're discussing, the benefits of Ramadan and so forth and so on. You there? Ishmael, you there? Okay, we do have another caller, 501. Welcome to Religion Means a Lie. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. And I think you're doing a great job by trying to listen to Religion Alive as much as I possibly can. I always enjoy it. And I think you're doing a great job today with, again, we need every year, we need to go over our incoming Ramadan sessions. And I'm really enjoying it. Thank you. And keep on doing what you're doing. Sounds good. Assalamu alaikum, my sisters and brothers.
I have to ask you a question. You sound as one who have done this fast several times. Can you share with us maybe your first experience or your first fast?
My first fast was when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we were doing it, as you said, and it was in 1971. We were doing it in December. And it was because of the Christmas holidays. And that was our, you know, that was what we thought. And that's, we did is, you know, we you know, that's all that we had to learn from at that time. And so I kind of got tickled when you said we've really been fasting. You know, we've been fasting a long time. So, anyway, after I learned about the nine lunar months, I am ill. I have a disability that causes me where I can't fast as I would really like to. But Allah says he doesn't put on anything that is as a difficulty, and so I try to do the best I can with doing what he tells me to do. When you can't fast like you wish you could, and I see the blessings every year, and every year I get more. Every year I just get more. I just can't wait. You know, it's like July here yet? You just can't wait. I don't care how many times you fast. You begin to know it. You know, it grows on you, and it's not like a big ritual to us, but it's the thing that we know that Allah says that it is prescribed for us, and. I just enjoy knowing that our sisters and brothers are doing this every year.
Thank you, thank you. And as you said, you know, as you up in age or you're ill, Allah doesn't want you to hardship or, you know, something that you can't manage, and so He does give you provision.
Yes, sir. I'll just say I'm paralyzed. I've been paralyzed for 43 years before I even became Muslim. So therefore, I just learned to love Allah because I believe He does everything. I know He does everything for a reason. And I've just been strong with Him, and I want Him to continue to keep me strong And I roll along, and I'm hoping and wishing. This morning I said, oh, I wish I could go to Chicago. I wish I could go to the convention of the end of the, you know, of the August. I say, but I don't know how I'd be feeling, you know, or how, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, you just things going around in your head. But, my understanding with fasting is good, and I try to feed the people that are poor. Not saying that I'm not poor, but people that that I can, and I try to do the best other things that I can do that I can't do as some of our other sisters and brothers that are young and healthy and I just can do it.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I'm not jealous at anybody, but I understand.
Well, that's the paramount. You know, that's the goal. You know, some people do things and they have the ability to do things, but they don't understand. So, as I said, sometimes you have to seek knowledge and wisdom, but the best is to get understanding. So we thank you for sharing that with us, and that's part of your charity also. God says give of what you have. So if you have knowledge, you have experience, you have the right spirit, giving that is equally as well as giving food or shelter. So don't ever feel, not just you, but any of you. Don't ever feel that.
I just really thought that you had to go out and physically give out food.
That's one avenue. I mean, that's one asset. That's one asset of the human enrichment and development. But the human being also needs guidance, also needs the right, you know, self-esteem. So if you can give that, that's equally important as giving someone bread or meat, you know.
Okay, giving them, a little bite of knowledge here and there.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I do that anyway every day. Yeah, I do that anyway every day. They don't know I'm doing it, but I be doing it, and, you know, sometimes I see it, them bring it out of, you know, it come out of them.
Right.
Alhamdulillah.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. So I'm hoping, you know, that I'm trying. That's all I can say, and may Allah have mercy on me.
Yes, thank you. What is your name again, sister?
My name is Andrietta Bonner.
Andrietta
Bonner.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am. Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you.
All right. We thank you for listening and supporting Religion Means Alive. And if anyone else has a question or a comment of their experience, of their first Ramadan, if you can remember your first Ramadan, if you're not a new Shahada or a new follower, if this is not your first Ramadan, if you'd like to share when was your first Ramadan and how was it, and it can encourage others who are, we're in the middle of it now, as it was said, by the sisters starting back, you know, in the 70s, I think Ramadan was also in the hot months. So there's going to be long, long periods of daylight. And we know the fast begins when you see the distinction between night and day. When it was revealed that the thin line of the white thread of black and white, is reported that the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, actually would get white thread and black thread, and they would put that up, and again some of them took it literally, but it's really when before any sign of the light, before any sign of the sun, before you see the rays even. Then you have to stop eating, perform.
Yes, sir.
You there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think you gave me that material of Imam explaining the times of prayer and connection with fasting. Did you want to share that with us?
Oh, well, first of all, the sister was such a beautiful sister. I just wanted to I'll give you a shout out. But I also want to, you know, just acknowledge that during that Allah made it very easy for us. And I recall Ramadan being followed by Eid, and the Eid is very distinct in getting you to understand what you're returning to and celebrating. So there's a connection. See, the world has been celebrating. You mentioned at the beginning of the program, celebration. We're in extreme celebration, partying and celebrating. So what are we celebrating? If we're celebrating, we call it the Eid al-Fitr, and we're going back to the pattern. We're going back to our original nature, the pattern. And what is this pattern? This pattern is all creation. It has a pattern. Plant life has a pattern. Animal life have a pattern. Mammals even have a pattern and make them, even in animals, there's a distinction of different animals. So we were created with a pattern. But the world takes us out of these patterns and the worldly influences of man's own creation and also the jinn creation and other creations, other dead creations can influence man. Dead matter can influence man. And his perception and take him out of his pattern. We see with Ibrahim mentioned in the Quran, his father would make idols. Christians have him as a leader also. Jews also have him as a leader. But his father would make things with his own hand, and he looked at the universe. So that shows us right there that shirk is not just a sense of saying that people have been disbelieving or not understanding what God is. The light, people have taken things from their own creation, knowing that this can't be God, because I made it myself. A dead object comes from creation. See, wood, it comes from trees. So it would have been better for them to even look at trees. So Abraham himself shows us that he looked at creation. He looked at the sun. He looked at the moon. Now, I don't want to say it's a theory, but I don't believe most of the Quran was revealed in one day or 2 days. So I don't believe that these times that we're saying Abraham looked at the sun and the moon, it doesn't say that was a day. It doesn't say that was, this pattern could, this could have been 10 years of a conclusion. And so I like to liken that story to the Nation of Islam's development, to what many said that Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he practiced, and, you know, some would argue that we didn't have the deen. But the pattern is very key. He understood. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a very brilliant man. The brilliance that I'm going to say is I read Message of the Black Man. I read, I further graduated with the Imams as a student. But one of the things the Imam would do at Ramadan sessions is he would go into the language of Mr. Farad and the strategy of putting Islam in America and what he used in scripture, the perception of scripture, as well as what he saw coming from the light, and also what the Muslim world went away from. Why are we here today? What have we lost? So one of the questions given in the December was, why are we celebrating when most of the time the celebrations come with a gift? And a gift calls for appreciation. A gift calls for appreciation. I mean, even we know with the life of the gift that's in the womb, we know that before we can celebrate the baby, the mother is on a very regimen. She's disciplined to a point where her body almost feels like it may collapse many times. She's weak, but she's really being, if she does things in her pattern, God is making her very strong. And the baby, so my first fast, I like to answer that. My first fast was in the womb. See, in the womb, I didn't, this is a conscious fast, but in the womb, I took the sustenance God provided. I lived in, I had to live in something. I wasn't born yet to this existence, but I was born yet in this reality. I was already successful. Science is the same what the Quran said over 1,400 years ago of the success of this, of the sperm. And so we should see that we already have been blessed with successful, the successful nation. Now, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was saying, and I think the Judaic people can understand this, because during their, most of their holidays, they appreciate restraint. We see it in the Sabbath where they differed. Some made it stricter than it was supposed to be. Some made it ritualistic. And we see Jesus even arguing on these things. Not arguing, I don't want to use the word arguing, debating. That the scripture, those who are law bearers, have made religion out of place. So religion, like you said in the beginning of the world, wasn't new. So they made it out of reach to the common person, the lawgivers. And the Al-Baqarah shows us that it was making, they made it out of reach, out of touch to the common man. And so the common man had this burden, this donkey. And his pattern was disturbed because he started to follow his own nature, his rational mind. His mind itself was to question himself. So we see that this could disturb ourselves. So we in Islam, are we not guilty? I'm going to tell you, yes, we're guilty. Not if we follow the Quran, but if we follow those who say the moon, we every day, every year we have debate on the moon being sighted. We have debates on the Saudi Arabia fast. We fast, some of us, not all of us, not the ones who died it, but most of the world. Great era here in this country because the lawmakers. We break the sun base. We look at the calendar of the time. Instead of looking at the calendar, is it in proportion to the sky? So let's not look at man's world first. Let's return to our nature and look at God's creation first. And is it in proportion with what man is being revealed? So I'd like to first say before, well, most of us think about the fast. Fasting is prescribed. But everyone is not going to fast, sister. And I love you, my sister. Everyone is not going to fast. In that tradition. So we don't say this is just fasting. Fasting was given in scripture before. Christians are supposed to fast. They have days. Some are out of touch, out of reach because they feel that many of them, well, you know, I'm not born again. I'm not yet in. I'm a Christian. My mother is, but I'm not on it like that. So once again, we see that many of the people, common people, have been out of touch with their religion. So Muslims are to see this month as the month where the Quran was revealed. The month, matter of fact, the night of power, which we highlight that month during this month, is the month when we believe the first revelation of Quran was given. So I want to say again that this month I love our hadiths of the Prophet, our reports, but we're not celebrating universally each juice. Each day is reading a hadith or a report. We're not celebrating each day, just the concept of the fast. The fast is beautiful, but the fast is, it actually comes fast. See, what I'm going to use in this knowledge, this information I'm giving you, is that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in tune with the fact that our people has certain ills. Imam Muhammad has even highlighted the fact that he beat certain weaknesses. He spoke about this before of Imam. Allah bless, be pleased with him. Imam returned to Allah. He spoke about how people who had heroin and drug problems were able to get off these problems, these social ills. people who have diabetes and today facing things like dialysis. We're able to beat these things. We had one day fast. We had, but the December 25th in our people, through what has happened to the Western world, has become one of the most exploitative times of partying. Everyone has a party to go to. Everyone has something to sing about. Now, what I ask you is, it's not wrong that the good news is here, but Allah, it's just like the midwives are seeing, that should the pain, should the discipline, should the birth, the labor pains, when I say pain, I'm not saying pain in the tube, but should the labor pains not exist and just the baby? One of the things we see now today is that they're even taking away pain from mothers, and I believe that this is something that's making the babies disturbing the nature that's in the children and the mothers. Not saying that they can't have a baby without pain, but saying that I believe Allah gave that pain for a specific reason, for a mother to almost lose her life to the child she's given. Now, if you, Allah says in the Quran that after difficulty comes ease. So if you're not connected to the pain of the labor, you may have your child do anything in the street. Some of these young mothers may not be, one of a young mother, I let her be anonymous, but she told my wife when she was talking about her birth, the birth, and she said, a regular girl on the street said, I'm not an animal. You let them, you had a natural birth? See, so the young girls are being shot up with all kind of medicine and things like this. And I'm just giving this to highlight that this is all these additives are taking us out of our life. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew we were affected psychologically. And I say some of you Muslims are still, you believe Jesus Christ is returning, you definitely took the shot of Christianity. So we're not here to say that in the Ramadan session, Imam Muhammad explained one day, he said, I know you Muslims would try to say that you're holding the covenant to Abraham, but he said, no. He said, Abraham's covenant is reached with all those who use their revelation, the revealed knowledge, the insight that God has given them to share that and educate their public. Whether you do music, whether you do art, whether you do poetry, like you explained to the sister just now, whether you share information, and those who don't want to see their public in despair, don't want to see the group nature. So I'm going to Harlem. I'm using Ramadan to not be in the nature of being in a masjid all day in our neighborhood, when right across the masjid they selling dope across the street. Right to the left of the masjid they having the whorehouse exist. So Islam was to put them in a community sense of responsibility by going over the word of revelation of God with all purities, all purification. But when you're reading the purification in the Salat, and you stand with the Salat, and you're reading those long surahs, you're reading about Moses. I want to recall this. That's what you're going to be reading. You're going to be reading about Solomon. You're going to be reading how Moses had to slowing a person in the fight for freedom. And didn't even think he could be chosen to be the prophet and messenger. You're going to read about how Solomon had distinct wisdom. You're going to read about the Jonas people. You're going to read. You should feel real comfortable to study about our plight and connect our plight into what Scripture is saying. When you read about Joseph, Yusuf, and what's being made over the storehouses. When you read about, you're going to read all these great stories along with the fast. So what I'm explaining to you, that the fast is to prepare you really what you should be feeling year long. Year long, they joke at me in my house because they say I still am on Honorable Elijah Muhammad's diet. My mother is saying, but my mother didn't say, you know what? And I don't say this to brag, brothers and sisters. I definitely am a product of the community. Born and raised, I wasn't even in reach. I was raised born in 1981. I was not even in the top of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but I love that wisdom of what he talks about 1 meal a day. Because I still eat 1 meal a day. I don't believe in what people are saying. And guess what? I get up in the morning. I feel good. It helps me. My mind stays alert and sharp. So what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was that he was prescribing. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't observe Ramadan, because Ramadan is the key at that time. But what he was saying is, and Imam showed this, that he was actually prescribing a diet, dietary laws, food laws, discipline for his people's problems and social ills. So he was prescribing. So the new Islam that we should be seeing should be the greater future, that the possibility of the future that we're going into, of Jesus Christ and Muhammad saying he saw Jesus and him together. And in the end, there would be much greater things than what was happening now. Even, and Jesus even speaking of how he had to come go because the Comforter, he must go away quick. So the Comforter would come. So we have overindulged, some of us have overindulged in the good news, which we call the gospel. And we now see them taking the good news to a point where, like Jonah's people, who were opposite, they would be given bad news. But Jonah's fault was that in that bad news, he became so distracted with the sense that there didn't wasn't no one existing in that society. He thought they would be destroyed. But it said that if one takes on a new mind, one of the people, and we should look at Jonah's story, because this is a great story, that the people were actually saved. We see many times, we talk about Lot, we talk about what happened in other societies of Noah. But we should see that story as great, and him and Jonah being scolded. Jonah not seeing what, and so this is the time we live in America, same time. We have many of those who didn't understand the promise of the civil rights movement. So I want this Ramadan really for us to connect the revelation and come back to our original nature all year long and not just eat, like the brother said. See, eating, that problem, what they're finding out is Muslims are actually gaining more weight during Ramadan. And I know I don't believe that fact is 100% factual in essence. I think a great deal, because I have observed how some Quran in Sahur. But problem is not just that observance. The problem is that you can't return. Imam Muhammad said the fast is really how you're supposed to live year long. So when we find in the Prophet's Hadith or the real reports of Abraham, we find that they fasted on the days of Mondays. We see Wednesdays. The only fast didn't fast in Juma. But it was many days, many months. This is a special month, okay? There's four special months, I believe, based in the Quran. But this is one of the special months. You know, this is a special month. So we have to understand that this is a month that God chose to give revelation. Now, who knows? I'm not going to say it. But, I mean, we find that just like the Kaaba of Adam, go tracing back to Adam, who knows? This may be a month that before even Muhammad. Muhammad, we have to... traceable story, but this may be a month that revelation was given before, or great acts was given before. So this is a special month of Ramadan. But fasting itself, you share that with other groups of people. Christians are told to fast. The Christians are also told, now what makes you unique is your prayer. Your prayer is what makes you unique. And the way you fast makes you unique also. The discipline, not just, I have to fast 3 hours. Imam spoke about the one Ramadan session. He explained how some of us, if we don't feel no pains in our stomach, we think we ain't fasting. I want to overfast. This month is about restraint. The Quran talks about that Allah gave this to you so you would know restraint. Now, restraint doesn't mean just a punishment. Restraint means to not, to be balanced, to not overindulge. So we should break it when we should be observing the creation. We should be observing when the sun is going out and out. We should be quickly ready to break it. We should be following orders to a discipline in our life. We should be making our prayers to a discipline in our life. But we should really have this discipline all year long. We should really be in our nature all year long. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was connected, though he was giving you slowly, and new one will come on the scene. He was already connected that his people had problems that need to be diagnosed. And I still see that. I know I could honestly say the Muslims in our community and out of still should be fasting during Christmas. Subconsciously should be fasting. Spiritually, you should be fasting also. Yeah, why should you celebrate? Why should you not? Aren't you telling the people anyway that fasting is a celebrate? It's a reoccurring happiness about to come? For you turn it into your natural fast. So I'm not saying you do disrespectful things, but I'm saying I fasted today, I fasted yesterday, and you know what kind of good news I just heard? You don't know how I fast, and I'm not saying this to brag about fasting. I'm saying that when you grow, like the sister was explaining, you can grow in many ways. I've come to see the disciplines in this as higher than even what many of the Muslim world loses themselves in, just the ritual. To the point where you could go to Hajj, and now we see in the rituals that some may have a stone, and you're supposed to do a light stone, and it may kill a person. Man, nobody see that, man. So does it tell us to be so ignorant of each other that we don't see that this is an older woman next to me, and I throw this rock next up, I might trample her? No, so we are to be a unique, conscious-minded community. So with the fast, there's going to be some that's going to be on journeys. You should break your fast if you got a long journey. God tells you to break the fast if you have a long journey. He made us start breaking our fast when we were going long places, long distances. Because the Quran instructs you. It gives you a better gift. And what's the knowledge in this? I tell a brother this all the time, that the business community, most of the time, the ones who are traveling. Most of the time, poor people can't travel mowing me on, going up the block or going up a few places. Most of the time, you see people that's going to overseas, or if I'm in a situation like the president, or I'm in a situation like many of our business leaders responsible for getting garments and things for the community. That's what trade is about. Then I'm doing journeys. I'm taking journeys. Now, if I just say, oh, okay, I don't want to do it. I'm not listening to this part. I'm going far, but I'm not breaking 3 days, and I don't want to make those days up. So then you're following again. You're not following your restraint. You're not following what God has given you. Now, isn't it beauty that business leaders, if they were conscious of this, could be feeding the poor in what you said, Mujahideen, in charity, and also opening up establishment, opening up business workshops, putting people on their level, giving out knowledge, giving out smiles, smiling at the people again, not just taking the Wall Street version, but also connecting that also with feeding the people. It should be rational. We should. Like you said the other day, brother, it shouldn't be just all allegorical, but we should be literal. And that's what the Quran gave us, a book making things plain, a taboo being, making things clear, make digestible. So we don't say, there's nothing in our religion that says don't eat spaghetti during Ramadan. There's nothing in our religion that says don't eat lamb during Ramadan. There's nothing in our religion that says that. But we should use our good sense and take the best thereof. So we should want to have our body in a condition, and we should be awakened to the breaking of the fast. Should be with God's creation must have a seed or come from the natural world, water. Even if you didn't have water or date, you should, and you had tomato vines, you should break it with tomato before you break it with spaghetti. And I use that as an example because I know so many of us would know with our little pasta bellies, things like with starch and spaghetti. But it's to make us appreciate man has tainted. Now we see big movements of those saying we need organic. Muslim leaders should be behind this. Muslim leaders, it hurts me the fact that we're not behind these movements. It hurts me the fact that we say halal, but we got a guy worth with 300 pounds at a halal cart, and his belly passes his jeans. Now, what I'm saying, I'm not trying to disrespect the brother, because he has the freedom right, but Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew, take the best thereof. Imam Muhammad told us that we should be practicing these dietary laws. Now we should be practicing not to eat heavy. Now look at where we at. Part of the revelation is to know what time you in. That's for the second part of the Jummah. In our time that we in, we see our people with major health problems. We see our people with major time problems in business. I'm in business. I see time problems, and I know it relates to the Salat. I know it relates to the Salat. It's not knowing what time we in. Meeting is 8 o'clock. We showing up 8:15. So this, we should not say, oh, I got enough time. Imagine this. You got paid $10,000 for each Salat you made. You people would not miss a lot. Hey, could you imagine that for a lottery ticket? You got $20,000. Now, God said he gives you a better, more lasting life than that loan, than even money. So many of us say, oh, well, money ain't my God. I don't have no money. But we don't, we say, oh, yeah, well, Salat came in, I got 20, 30 minutes. Oh, my driven in, I got about 50 minutes. This is, we should be sharpening these, I wouldn't say scale, but it's higher than the scale. We should be sharpening this during this month. We should be holding that value that God has promised us and given us higher than the lottery ticket or $20,000. It should be higher. That's when I say that, I want to wake you up on how important these things are. And we should be feeding the people and loving and laughing and but discipline during while we fasting, not laughing while we fasting. He is very loving, being very disciplined, being very enlightened. Your juice. You think there's no connection to why the Surah is showing you a picture? Is yet when you read it, juice? Well, I know that you scholars shouldn't understand the water is being fed. So we're drinking during the day. We're not really drinking from the water of the well, or the water of the material environment. But we're being fed. We're being quenched. And I wish more of you would fast during the year, like the prophet. The prophet fasted during the year. So I'm saying we have to take this bigger than just a fast. See, if I fast during the year, what that shows me in the prophet's character is that he wasn't just celebrating that the fast was coming because he did that already. Abraham fasted. So he wasn't celebrating because the fast was here. We celebrating because Ramadan is here and fasting is prescribed to you during the month of Ramadan. So let's understand that this is a holy month. Let's understand that some people got a day or, you know, we look at Muslims, we say, oh, we take these concepts to be light, but these are very, I mean, we celebrate our birthday. We celebrate one day. We celebrate every day. Somebody got a day. We celebrate it. And I'm not knocking any day, but we celebrate all these days, and then when it comes time for Eid, we don't have any money. But we have 3 days. We have 3 days. If we would discipline ourselves on these other days, which should be shorter days, should be more. This shouldn't just be a material day. It should be a day that you appreciate. You don't have to just get a gift on your birthday. You should appreciate that you're born, that you're living again on your birthday. You have a duty to do more. And a gift would be nice, you know, not knocking any value, but I'm saying that we have 3 days. Now, most people have another day to signal their celebration. We have 30 days to sharpen ourselves. 30 plus or 29 or whatever Allah permits based on. But we have a whole month. A whole month to be grateful. Most people have a day that they talk about grateful. We have Christian brothers and sisters who look at Easter and they talk about a day. They're thinking about a day. That day could be summed up in our night of power, but our month is what we've been thankful for. So we're very unique in these things. I want to bring the very unique. I want to bring the things we share with other religions, but I want to bring our uniqueness also to show the distinction. You know, we talk about Thanksgiving. We talk about a day. We talk about other holidays. Now, the Jews, they have some science of it. They have longer. and they definitely practiced restraint. But Allah said also with them, there was some who didn't agree and wanted to be more liberal, and there was some who didn't even agree and went too strict. And we have the Muslim world going in that direction, without a doubt, showing you everything beside the Quran, almost could lose your life. So this religion is to show you during this month that every man should be a scholar. Every man should has no excuse to not know what's in God's book. No excuse, because you're back to your pattern. So I'm not saying don't read the hadith. I'm not saying all these great things. I'm saying that the goal is the fast. For instance, I said that you could eat good food. You could eat actually less. You could do all these things. But God didn't say you can't eat spaghetti because the goal is to fast. So take the best thereof. But as we grow, we got to keep taking more and more of the best thereof. And we have to let that grow, and that growth go so big that we start doing this throughout the whole year. But we celebrate and we love the fact that Ramadan is here, the month that the Quran was revealed. We love the fact that the fast is prescribed for us during this month. We love the blessings. We love the fact that we get to make up from some of we all have sinned. We don't believe in born in original sin. We don't believe in these misconceptions or perception. But we all make mistakes, so we get a chance to reawaken every mistake we made. And what I mean by that? I mean that we get a chance to, everyone who has human excellence is not to be perfect. Human excellence is to admit that we have flaws, that we must admit that God is the creator. So we get a chance to make up all the things we've done wrong. We get a chance to renew and start again, just like the Hajj, which is another Eid. But we don't, that Eid come, inshallah, we talk about that at the time. But taking the sheepish nature is we have to connect this month. Don't wait to Eid to think about Eid. The Quran, when you read the Quran gives you the clues. It doesn't wait to, we reading the whole book during this month. We're not going to read a part of this month and wait to read. We not, see, this is the problem with, you got to understand that those who got religion before, they were taught to read it from a perspective. They would say, oh, Christians, you read the New Testament. Don't read the Old. The Judaic leaders, they told their people, stick with the law. And everything else that comes outside, we don't, we might not even, if we don't agree to it, wait to hear from us to see if this is confirmed to be truth or not. And the Quran tells you that any prophet that went against a particular message, there was trouble. So we don't want to follow no more like that. We want even our brothers and sisters in humanity to understand that we want complete life for all. So after you read the opening, Al-Baqarah will tell you that each book will be judged by, each group will be judged by their book. So spread that to you. Feed the people with that during the Ramadan. Feed your Christian relatives with that. That they said, no, I don't believe you will be banned. Maybe your religion, you believe I'll be banned. You believe that I don't accept Christ and I will be going, you know, maybe that's your perception. And I know others who believe that they'll hold the covenant. And it must come through their head or leadership or their perception. But we say, oh, we here to clear up that misconception. My brother and my sister, I don't believe that. I believe you will be accepted by God if you live by your book. So this month is giving us the light of understanding, the light of true freedom, justice, and equality. This is what this month is about. This is what this great month is about, of Ramadan. So Muslims, I want you to become more awakened. I want you to, we say, when Fajr, what do we say? We say prayer is better than sleep. But we don't just stop with prayer. We have a definition for our prayer. Our prayer, we ask for prayer, but we complete it with cultivation. Or we do the comma, and we do our event. We complete it with success. We don't say, oh, we're going to, oh, this is Ramadan coming. Everybody go in their bat cave. There's no more, we can't earn any money this month. We can't eat for the whole, you know, you'd be shocked how many people who've told me outside, and I know the Muslim world has not done their job. Too many people outside has asked me, oh, I thought y'all fast the whole 30 days. They even think I fast for 30 days, or they only think that we drink water. And we can. So it's a big misconception. They have a duty, and that shows if I could have enough time, I would go into how that's connected, things we lost in perception, being water people. It's being over spiritual. See, we're drinking water. Jesus was, we know what the man talked about Jesus. We also know what Superman shows. And the man talked about Superman. I was watching a new one, and he came in the water. It was very weak in the water. Jesus said, I have time to take the people from water to land. Time to build the promised land. Carpenter. Moses' people were seen to be in the sea. So we should take these, and Prophet Muhammad, Medina, ascension. Comes down and builds the city of light. So what I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, is we don't say, Ramadan, and say, oh, no, it is coming. We can't build the city of light. No, we're getting great help. We're getting great help of a light and understanding, but you got to control your, I would say, people say nafs and spirit, but you have to, it has to serve direction and purpose. Your body, you can't just take in food during, you have to serve purpose. Like you was in the, when you was in the womb, you served purpose. Nobody gave you a stake in the womb. Allah knew what the fitter, what the pattern needed at that point. So the pattern should be feeding ourselves, and we should feed ourselves with each other and be very disciplined this month also. Not a lot of, when you're in Juma, I'm going to share this and coming up on the 7:30 mark, that when they saw our people and our condition, because this is also about my people, I won't give this up. Prophet Muhammad came into this religion, searched for his people to have a better life than they had. So he was connected to his people, development, being backwards. My people are on BET, party in the 70s, party to death. My people party to the point where even in Africa traditions, they see them dancing universally, whether we're in Caribbean, or dancing, laughing. I'm at work. I'm in a workforce. I do building development, and I love my people. I love them. But I see that if they're in a restaurant, they sometimes spend little time in a restaurant and more time outside the restaurant. It's just the way we are. Now, we have to remember that that's nothing, not a bad nature. I'm not here to scold and say it's bad that we love to be with each other and talk for hours and tell jokes and make jokes. But manipulators, and Shaitan is the biggest manipulator, but manipulative life took everything that was good and blew it out of proportion. As the brother was saying in the beginning of the broadcast, of the world. So the manipulators, even in our food, we find additives. We find people want to return. Why my steak has this? Why my lamb has this? What's this additive? Why does my drink, my water, have all this chemicals? What's this soda? All these additives around. Why does my music have all these messages? So we take a break this month from all these additives, all these corrupted additives. But one of the additives we also have to take a break from, and during Juma, I would caution us, and our gatherings, when we speak to leaders, we start to over-laugh. That's why I'm glad I'm on this radio show. I don't want a bunch of laughter to this. During this month, remember, the imam, we was laughing. He said that when they came among us, they saw that we had that in us at this time. They even came up with a concept of the myth of Ham. Ham laughed. So we used to be disciplined, breaking. Don't be out here telling jokes during the day. Just, while you fast. Even if you like something to say, think about it. You like something to say, let it hit your brain, your akko. Don't respond from the emotional side. I will remind the people. because this was a side that was manipulated. And other people in the world have less of this side. But even their people, this is why they say they're public, they call them public blacks, and he used another word to say that the dawning of a movie bamboozled, heightened this, how the American public itself is turning into one big type of emotional show. I'll use that language. Emotional. But everyone's caught up in what? They laugh at the president. This shows you no respect of how far go to the Tonight Show and all these shows. They make jokes on their own leaders. They make jokes on their own leaders. It was a time that wasn't common, especially in the 20s and the 90s. It wasn't common for you to just sugar show and then jokes. So, everyone had a joke to say, and you know. And what I'm saying to you is that they know that the real leadership is losing. They have lost their life. And we have to know as Muslims that it was fast and also was restraint. Vain talk. Now, I'm not going to use vain to just be like vain or discourse. I could use another Arabic word to discuss what it's showing. But on this point, I'm going to connect it to the English word. You know, blood is community and life. But in every blood, you have veins. So what it's saying to us is that conversations like the tree, same tree, the good word, the branches go up to the heavens, and the bad word, we see that, and branches itself look like veins, don't they? Don't want a branch, not the seed, not the actual substance, the water that's going through, and the process, but the branch itself is connected in the Quran to a good word. So we want to see structure, but we want to see not destruction in the sense of seeing a structure like going downtown or seeing a monument. We want to see life and structures that produce living veins, give to community. And when we don't have just jokes and these discourses, these vain talk, backbiting, slandering, we are actually cutting off our veins. We actually having vanities. We have indulgences, things that they made us, they highlighted, because when we were just getting free, this was most of the money that came in our community was given to the people who told these jokes, who played these minstrel shows. So Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I want to connect him, I know many of you may not even ever heard him disconnected during the Ramadan, because I believe we're in the third phase of our community. I believe we're in the final, not the final destiny, like we below spring, but we're in it for development purposes. We created in stages. Most people say 9 months, but we know those in mathematical of that 9 is also a symbol of 3. We know when we look at our dhikr and we're doing patterns of 3. We know this. We know that even in the Maghrib, what that represents, the resurrection. And when we're looking at the sun, we know that this is even 3. Rise, fall, rise again. So we have to understand this connection to life. This connection to life is important. And as we give our veins and we enjoy all these gifts, we put this in perspective, we will have community life. And we will live in this mode year-round. And we will miss Ramadan, but we won't miss it in the sense I hear some of you say. Some of you say, oh, I'm so sad to see Ramadan go out. I mean, I love that. But don't get me wrong. It's like I love a human being. I love a human being, and when she passes. But do you know that one of the differences is when somebody passes, they almost make it like we're black, and sometimes they just, you know, why? God, why? Questioning God. So let's not let our love start turning us into a situation where we live in an extreme behavior year long because we don't see the light. And we think the light is just the light. Yeah, life is light. But we should be more saying what Allah tells us in the Quran during this month, even when somebody passes, say that they're living, but you perceive it not. So we're supposed to give a message to the dead that even the dead is to be living and rising again. So what I'm saying to you is we can't say a month is out of, the month is blessed, but let's not be in a state that we feel that it goes away in us. It rises again in us. It lifts us up again. It should make us more conscious right after. We should be having a recurring happiness 3 days returning, celebrating that we're going to return to our original nature. And I love Ramadan. Boy, do I love Ramadan. I love it. But I practice the fast in Shaban. I'm practicing it in business meetings and deals I have. I'm practicing in spiritual things and meetings with my relationships. And that's what I'm saying to you, that we should not leave that out. Let's not leave that out. Let us become a new people. Let us be the new Islam. The Prophet predicted greater things to be coming than even the time he was in. It's evident. It's evident. Let everyone else just, and I don't want them, I wish them to come to the light, but I said, let those have rituals. But the brother said, understand it. The light is on. I remember that was a convention theme. The light is on. Okay? So the light should be on. Let the light on. This is a time of enlightenment. Fajr should be that concept also going in your head of it going into light. And I know we're closing out. No, brother, I don't want to overextend. I just want to remind the people, the loved people, that you have a message to deliver to humanity.
Yes, sir.
This was a human message. These are human. It was a human message, and you have to deliver it once again, and you have to become renewed in a sense of life and responsibility. But first, be responsible for yourself and prove to yourself. Prove again. Improve. And this goes for those. The reason why I'm spending so much time on it is because I know the state of the Muslim community. I know the state of our community. I'm not talking with fallacies. I'm not going to talk in a sense of dreaming, keeping you on water. You know, we have some ills that we have to deal with. We have a mirror that we have to look at. The Honorable Imam Muhammad said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, he was so successful too. He said he showed even the European his a mirror that he needed. And while many of you criticize, I don't even see the European criticizing like most of the African American leaders, because it was a mirror that was very helpful to produce the civil rights movement. So we need to have a real mirror of ourselves as Muslims. I'm a baby of the Muslim movement. I don't think the same just like my father and my mother. I'm not supposed to think the same. I think universally the same, but Allah has blessed me. He has made me to be different. He has made my mother to be different than her mother. And so when you read the Quran, also read that every story is not just going over this same point. Yes, they universally believed in one God. Yes, they universally knew to respect their neighbor. Yes, they universally, these are universal, but show me now also what was the strategy of why Musa had to come. The man went over it. Show me the strategy of what Jonah, what this story of Lot, Adam, Thamud, what these stories, Zulkarnain, is expressing. Because if you're making your, if you, don't just tell me you went to the masjid and you heard beautiful recitation and the recitation was, what is the recitation saying? Don't just tell me it was so beautiful. Give me the whole experience. So I'll leave you with that, that we are a body of light. And my dear sister, I just wanted to, because you were very instrumental to me. My dear sister, you're blessed, and I love you. I just want you to know that I love you, and I want to do my best to get you to convention if you could come with us, and we should visit you and walk with you and talk with you because you're blessed, and you're blessed than a lot of people. I don't want to disrespect anybody's fast, but you're blessed than some people I know that do the fast, and I'll leave that anonymous because I don't want to talk like make anyone feel threatened, but you're blessed. You're blessed, sister. All right?
All right. We thank our brother, Ismail Qadar, and our Jaddy Muhammad tuning in, getting the tune-up pre-Ramadan set up. So we should go in with understanding, and we'll get the, as the sister said, the blessing. And as the brother reaffirmed that, you know, the right disposition of character as well as mind. And we can only be productive. It can only go up. So we'd like to thank you all who was listening and who tunes in tunes regularly and to tune in the same time, same station tomorrow as we get ready for the guests, the blessed guests of this month of Ramadan. So get ready for these three-stage developments in these first 10 days of mercy, second 10 days of forgiveness, and the last 10 days seeking protection from the hellfire. So we thank you again for tuning in to Religion Means Alive with Imam Alfred Muhammad. We wish you all with degrees of peace and paradise. Assalamu alaikum.